Our time is very limited. So although this year is meant to be an in-depth study of the Ramban, that is, each parasha will take one or two Rambans and study it and read it and analyze it, but I realized that the first Ramban in Parshas Vayera, which is this week's parasha, we like to take the parasha of the week, is very broad in scope, very complex, and I more or less published it, printed it for you with a couple of additions, you'll see on page 2, as a gift. I'll refer to it from time to time, but we're not going to be able to go through it as I usually like to do from beginning to end. We just don't have the time. So again, tonight will be a bit exceptional to my rule. It's not the way I normally like to do it. There'll be a lot more out-of-text discussion than I usually like it to be, because the goal is to encourage you to learn Ramban on your own. I just think the Ramban is so fantastic, and he doesn't need my Ascom, but to read the Ramban and analyze it and make sure that every word is in place is a tremendous experience. The Ramban, at the very beginning of Parshas Vayera, attacks the Rambam. So what we're going to do is, we're going to spend a little time on the Rambam. Some of this Rambam I have for you on page 2. The Rambam in the Mor Nevuchim, there are three chalokim, and the second chalek dedicates large chunks of the second chalek in the Morah to the concept of Nevuah, of prophecy. What is prophecy? How does someone achieve prophecy? Is there a difference between the prophecy of Moshe Rabbeinu and that of other Nevi'im? All these and many other issues are addressed by the Rambam in the second chelik in the Mor Nevuchim. In chapter 41, and I'm going to read it to you from the English because I cannot read it to you in the original, which is Arabic. So since I can't read it in Arabic, I'm going to read it in English, because there's no difference between reading it in English or any other language if you're not reading it in Arabic. And the Rambam makes the following points, and perhaps on the side of your page you can jot these down. The first point he makes, which is very important, and this is in a translation of the Rambam's Mor Nevuchim by Shlomo Pinnis, and this is volume 2, page 386. In my opinion, this is a great translation of the Rambam. And on page 386, he writes the Rambam that everyone about whom exists a scriptural text, in other words, anybody about whom it says in the Tanakh that an angel, a malach, talked to him, he saw a malach, or speech came to him from a malach, this did not occur in any other way than in a dream or in a vision of prophecy, either a chalom or a mar nevuah. So again, according to the Rambam, any communication with a malach, anytime you see a malach in Tanakh, you know that you're entering into someone's dream world or a vision of prophecy that comes from on high.
What would be a difference?
Okay, we're going to see it in a minute when we read the beginning of our parasha. The Rambam goes on to say the following. He says, it is a known and established principle that no prophecy, no prophetic revelation can come in any way except in a vision through the agency of an angel. In other words, you cannot experience prophecy directly from Hashem. It's always through a medium, through a vehicle. And what is that medium? A malach. The malach brings the word Hashem, of Hashem, to the Nevi. The only exception, says the Rambam, is Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is the only Nevuah ponim al ponim that is direct from Hashem, not through the intermediary of a malach. That's in chapter 41. Chapter 42, he reiterates, we've already explained that wherever an angel is mentioned in Tanakh as having been seen or spoken, this happened in a vision of prophecy or in a dream. And And the Rambam goes on to say it doesn't matter whether the angel appears at the beginning of the story or later on during the course of the event as it's recorded in the Torah. You see, you find out, you reveal it's a malach. It tells you that the whole episode took place, the event took place in a vision of prophecy or a dream of prophecy. Therefore, says the Rambam, and again, I'm just summarizing the chapter. He says, number one, that when the Torah says Vayera Elov El Avram V'yoshev Elohim Mamre, he said, who appeared to Avram? It says Vayera Elov Hashem, but then Avram meets three Malachim. What happened? Says the Rambam, this parsha in the Torah is a description of what the Malachim said and what Avram saw in a vision of prophecy. Likewise, says the Rambam, the story about Yaakov, about which it says, Vayavek ish imo, and he wrestled with a man, which we find out later in the parasha is an angel. This is a form of prophetic revelation. All the wrestling and the conversation in question happened in a vision of prophecy. Likewise, the whole story of Bilam on the way and the Ason speaking, all this happened in a vision of prophecy. Then the Rambam goes on to mention other cases in Tanakh where an angel spoke to a person. Yoshua lifted his eyes and he beheld a person who turns out to be an angel. That also is a vision of prophecy because Yoshua had a prophetic vision. He speaks about an angel that appears in Gilgal. This is in Sefer Shoftim. This is also a prophecy. He speaks about the fact that Manoach and Eshes Manoach see an angel and hear an angel. Hagar hears the voice of an angel. All this is a baskol. It cannot be that it happened in reality. So, to summarize two points in the Rambam, and this is going to tick off the Ramban right here at the beginning of Parshas Vayera, any story which is presented by the Torah in which a malach speaks to a human being hears the voice of a malach, or a malach is seen by a human being, this did not happen in reality. It only happened in a dream or in a prophetic vision. Point number two, the Rambam says that any prophecy must come through the medium of a malach. There's no prophecy other than one particular Navi, and that's Moshe Rabbeinu, where the communication from Almighty God is direct. In every other case, says the Rambam, it came through an angel. The Ramban is going to disagree with the Rambam on both counts. And take a look if you can. Again, I'm not going to be able to read this whole Ramban, as I said at the outset, inside. The Ramban, in a paragraph that starts, Ubisefer More Hanavuchim, which is the second paragraph on your page, summarizes the Rambam. First, with regard to Parshas Vayera, the Rambam holds that this is what's called a Klal Uprat. The Torah opens up with Vayera Elov Hashem, and God, Almighty God, appears to Hashem. It appears to Avram. And what happened? What was the content of that appearance that Hashem made to Avram Avin? That's the klal. And the prat is the whole story that the Torah tells us, which is all defining the nevuah experience of Avram Avin. Omar HaKosuv, Tchila, Ki Nira Elav Hashem B'maros HaNevuah, God appeared to Avram in a Mara Nevuah, a vision of prophecy. V'yechoysa Hamara Zos. Now the Torah goes on to tell you what were the substance, what were the particulars and the details of that Mara Nevuah. In that Mara Nevuah, Nasa Einov, Avram lifts his eyes, V'hinei Shlosha Anoshim Yitzov Melov, and he thinks that these three Anoshim are human beings, the Tzavim Olav, Vayomer, Im Namat Tzasichem Beinecha. In the vision, Avram speaks to one of them, the Gadol Shebahem. All this happens in Nevuah. Says the Ramban, if that be the case, im bimarel o nira elof kaka noshim ochlin basar, if in truth the only thing that Avram gets out of this mara is that he sees human beings, who he thinks are human beings in this vision, and he feeds them meat. Eich omar vayera olav Hashem. What does that mean, vayera olav Hashem? Hine lo nira lo Hashem. God didn't appear to him, because that was only a klal, and the prat was that Avram Avinu sees three people, and he feeds them, and so forth and so on. Lo bimara v'lo machshava. He says, "Kochelo nimtzav b'chol ha-neviyos." All the stories of prophecy in Tanakh don't fit this bill. You cannot describe them as situations in which Hashem appears but never says anything, never communicates with the prophet. It's only a story that transpires in the vision, in the mind of the Navi. Ve'hinei l'dvarav. The Ramban is really pushing his point. According to the Ramban, lo lasha sara ugos. That might disappoint us to find out that Sara never baked cookies. I was always wondering what those cookies would taste like. Lo asa Avram ben bakar. And in truth, Avram Avinu never actually prepared a good piece of meat for his guests. Gam lo tzachaka sara. Sara never actually laughed. Because again, it's always in the vision of Avram Avinu. The malachim are there. Everything's a vision. It's all in the mind of Avram. V'im Cain, if that be the case, when you read this parasha, Ba'ach Halom Hazeh, this dream that Avram is having, Berov Inyan, with many, many details. Kichalomos HaSheker, just like anyone who goes to sleep and he has a dream that has many, many different details to it, and it's all full of meaningless facts and details. Why would the Torah cloud our mind with details about Avram's dream that are totally irrelevant? If the story never took place, then why all the details? And where is Hashem in this Mara, Vayera of Hashem? And then the Rambam says, not only is Avram's episode a Mara Nevuah, but Yaakov Avinu's episode of wrestling with the Malach, that also never took place according to the Rambam. The Chain Omar, and so he said, meaning the Rambam said, Binyan Vayovik Ishimo Shakol Bimar Nevuah. It didn't happen. We know that this person or being that wrestled with Yaakov was a Malach. Well, a human being can't wrestle with a Malach, says the Rambam, it was a Nevuah. And here the Ramban drops what I call the bomb. The bomb kasha, I call it. V'lo yadati lama hayetzolea al yerecho b'hokitz. Lo and behold, Yaakov wakes up and he's limping on his leg. How could it be? How could it happen? V'lama amar kira isi elokim ponim el ponim. I mean, the description here is Yaakov seeing Elohim, meaning a Malach Elohim, ponim el ponim. And now, we're skipping a little bit, v'hine lefi da'ato, which I think is your fourth paragraph, according to the Rambam, zos yitztarech lomar kein binyan lot. The very next parasha, the major episode of Vayera, after the original parasha, is the parish of Lot. And you recall that two people came to Lot's house, he brought them in, and then the Stomites found out about it, they stormed the gates, and then these two people turned out to be Malachim, and they came to notify Lot that Hashem is going to destroy Sodom, you better get the heck out of there. And the Torah describes how they grabbed Lot and his wife and his children, and they ripped them away from Sodom in order to save them. And then Sodom was destroyed and went up in smoke. He says, "Lefi dato zos." According to this opinion of the Rambam, Yitzarech loma kein binyan lot. The Rambam has to be consistent. Although the Rambam doesn't mention Lot explicitly, but if Lot is communicating with Malachim, he's hearing their voices, then it all has to be a figment of Lot's imagination. It's either a dream or perhaps a nevuah. I don't know. Kilo boa Malachim el beso. According to the Rambam, this never happened. V'lo ofalehem matzos v'yochelu. The Torah describes here in Perek Yutes Pasuk Gimel that he fed them, Lot fed them matzos, they ate matzos. No, kol hayu b'mara. It never happened. V'im yales Lot l'mala b'maras hanavua. And even if the Rambam will elevate Lot to the level of a Navi, we don't have any proof anywhere that Lot was a Navi, but let's grant that he was. So therefore, as a Navi, he had a prophetic vision in which he encountered Malachim. But eich yu anshei stom, haroyim v'achotim, nevim. Could it be that the Stomites were prophets? Could it be that they saw the angels in a prophetic vision? How did the Stomites know to storm the pearly gates and grab hold of these men as they wanted to do, but Hashem prevented them? Who whispered into the ears of the Stomites that there were people in the house of Lot? I mean, that happened in Lot's imagination, according to the Rambam. So maybe you'll tell me that the Stomites didn't actually storm the gates. That never happened. The story never took place, according to the Rambam. It's all a vision of Lot. Is then Yevaya Itzu Hamalachim? The Torah describes, the Ramban doesn't quote the old pasuk here, Vayismama, they took their time. So vayachziku anoshim biyodo biyarishto biyachtei benosav b'chemos Hashem vayotziu vayanichu michutz liir. The malachim took Lot and his family by hand and ripped them away from the city of stone and left them outside the city. That never happened because that's all part of the vua of Lot. So then where is Lot? If in reality, I'm not talking about virtual prophetic reality, but in physical reality, the Malachim did not take Lot out of the city of stone, so where is Lot? Answer?
Stone.
He's in stone. Lot is still in stone. In other words, he should at some point wake up from this vision. Lot is still in stone. Because no one took him out of stone, except in his dream. So let's just summarize some of the questions that the Ramban raises against the Rambam. First of all, how can the Torah says Vayera, I love Hashem, and Hashem really never appeared to him? There's no communication between Hashem and Avram. Secondly, all the details that the Torah delineates and testifies to here in the parasha at the beginning of Vayera, it never happened. All these details about Ugos and Bembok, it's all meaningless details of a dream. Next question, if Yaakov didn't actually wrestle with a Malach, so why was he so leal Yerecho? And in the story of Lot, if Lot didn't actually have this interchange with the Malachim, and the Malachim therefore couldn't have taken him out, it's all some sort of figment of his imagination, then Lot is still in stone. But here at this point, the Ramban gives a little bit of way, of leeway, as far as the parish of Lot, and maybe we could apply his rule to other parishes in the Torah. The language of the Ramban here is very difficult, but let's try to crack it. It's like a nut that you have to crack. Aval Yachshov, perhaps he will think, meaning the Rambam will think, Shehoyu hamasim nasim elein, v'hamamorim b'chol dibur v'dibur adavar v'davar Mara. Oh. What's the Ramban saying? Anybody want to take a stab at it? He's in Sfei Dinim here. He's mechalik between two things. The Ramban will think that the Masim Nasim Aleihem v'amamorim, what does Mamorim mean? Speech b'chol dibur dibur b'chol dovru dovru Mara. That was part of the vision. In other words, the Ramban is offering the following approach to the Rambam. The Rambam is going to differentiate between speech and human action. Any speech, any word that comes from a Malach, that happens in a vision. But then, you snap out of the vision. and you do an action. So imagine, Lot is in and out. Ah, this would make a great movie, right? Lot steps into his vision. He hears in his vision two malachim telling him to get out of stone. He steps out of the vision and does an action. Runs away from the city of stone. I mean, if that be the case, then maybe we can, you know, we can wonder exactly in the parasha of Vayera, maybe certain things did happen in reality. You know, and maybe even the Navi, to some extent, duplicates what he had in the vision in actual physical reality. I don't know. But, again, the Ramban is saying, let's pinpoint and limit the Rambam's Shita to the actual communication and the interchange between the human being and the Malach. Those frames are visionary. They don't happen in reality. But there may be other frames within the episode of the story. For example, let's take the case of the Akedah. Well, most of the Akedah happens in physical reality. But you remember at the end, Avram is about to slaughter his son Yitzchak, and what does he hear? He hears a Malach. Hey, wait a minute. The Rambam didn't mention that. If he hears a Malach, that has to happen when? In a dream. So why didn't Avram go ahead and shecht his son? Ah, he was about to shecht his son, and then he fell into a dream. Very strange. But then he snaps out of the dream. He already heard the word of the Malach. Now we can go back to reality. And he takes away the knife. In and out, in and out.
Maybe my knowledge is lacking, but wasn't it at first he told the Malach that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me to do this, so I won't listen to your word unless the HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself tells me not to shaft my son.
Right, so if you don't mind, since we're pressed for time, open up to the Psukim. It's right here at the end of Parshas Vayera, and we'll see if we can, you know, maybe together tonight we can construct something. Okay, fine. Now, what about Yaakov Avinu limping when he wakes up? So I have here in front of me a wonderful new edition of the Ramban, which is published by a neighbor of mine in Har Nof, the Hadrei Kodesh, and Hadar Margolin, and he has a footnote here which he quotes the Ralbag. The Ralbag was a philosopher who agrees with the Rambam in many issues. Both the Rambam and the Ralbag were influenced by the early Greek philosophers. And the Ralbag says, listen to this, regarding this question of how Yaakov Avinu wakes up from the dream and lo and behold, Soleil Yerecho, he says, Anachlu Mireh, we see in the world, Hispoil Kli Nefesh Me'adimyonim Sha'il Adem Beis Hashina. We see the impact of the imagination, that power of the soul of man, which is functioning at high profile when he's asleep, because all his sensuous, you know, his senses are dull when he sleeps, or what comes out is the imagination. That has an impact on a person, which affects him even when he's awake. She sharmi lo mizer roshem b'mokam ahu mitzara tnua. I don't know. Maybe a person has this vision, and the vision foretells what's going to happen when he's awake. And Hashem communicates to Yaakov that, look, you're going to bang your leg and you're going to start limping. But you should know that this was all calculated beforehand. Or maybe it's a psychological psychic state of dreams. You know, Freud was famous for writing on dreams. And the dream has such an impact on the soul that you can feel like you're really doing it. You know, when you wake up in the morning, you move a little bit this way and that way, and all of a sudden you're limping. It's mind over matter. I don't know. But the Ramban is yelling against the Rambam. Lo yadati lama yitzolea al yerecho behakis. How could it be that he wakes up and he finds himself limping? Let's take a look in Pasuk Yud Gimel for a moment. Now, what do we find in Pasuk Yud Gimel? At the end of this episode, at the beginning of Parshas Vayera with the Malachim, the Torah actually testifies that Hashem spoke to Avram. And what does it say? Vayomer, Hashem al Avraham, lama zetzach hakasara. So again, if we take the theory of the Ramban in the Rambam, in Lot, that it was in and out, so then it could be that at the end of this entire Mare, Avram notifies Sarah, and she starts taking a less than a serious attitude, and Vayomer Hashem al Avram, lama zetzach hakasara. So it's not actually true, as the Ramban would have it, that Hashem says nothing to Avram. He certainly says something to Avram. And again, admittedly, that's at the end of the parasha, but it is there. What I'd like to do now is try to analyze the machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramban. What's behind this machlokas? I would like to suggest, Leviani Yuzdaiti, that this machlokas between the Ramban and the Rambam should be seen in a broader context. The Ramban says that you can see a malach. You can hear a malach, and you don't have to be in a dream, and you don't have to be a prophet in a prophetic vision. The Ramban, in a paragraph which maybe you'll find, that starts with the words Avol b'makom. I don't know again if your paragraphs are broken up the same way as mine.
First one on the second page.
Yeah, first paragraph on the second page. And again, we're not going to read this at great length, but just to show you something, and maybe you'll be tempted to read this on your own, more be'ilin, with more time at your disposal. The Ramban says, he has a whole discussion before this about Bilam and what happened over there. He says, it's true, how could man see a malach? But the answer is, says the Ramban, when the Torah, the Tanakh, goes out of its way to identify the Malach as an Ish or a Noshim, like it is here in the beginning of Vayera, right? The Shlosh Anoshim in some mode, or in Parshas Lot, the two Anoshim. V'chein also by Yaakov, it says, V'yovek Ish Ima. V'chein by Yosef, we'll see V'yimtzeiu Ish. Says the Ramban, based on the Tanchuma, Aldas Rabbosenu who kvod nire b'malach. Again, Rabbosenu, you can ask me from now until Moshiach comes what that means. Kvod nire b'malachim, and I have no clue. Yikare etzal hayodim malbush. Yodim are the mystics. Anybody here a mystic? No volunteers? And this experience, this phenomenon, is called a malbush. Yusag liene basar. And the human being, with his own physical eyesight, can perceive a malbush. This malbush is an external manifestation of a malach. Wow, this is pretty heavy. There are malachim that cannot be perceived unless in a prophetic vision. And the Ramban agrees to that. He's Moda, the Mikzas. But, says the Ramban, there's another class of malachim which are called Anoshim. And the difference is that's a malbush. And a malbush can be perceived by a human being. And therefore, all the parashas, one after the other, which the Rambam says it didn't happen in reality, didn't see, didn't hear, it was all a vision, it was all a Mar Nevua, all those are cases of malbush. And if you want to know what a malbush is, says the Ramban, you got to ask the Yodei Dover. So I'm not one of the Yodei Dover, but I can just accept on one level that there is such a phenomenon, according to the Ramban, of a malach who can be seen, who somehow appears in a physical form, and can be perceived by the human eye. The Rambam rejects it. The Rambam knows of no such thing. He is very emphatic. It should be by no means in your thoughts. It should never occur to you, says the Rambam, that an angel can be seen, that the speech of an angel can be heard, except in a vision of prophecy or in a dream of prophecy. I believe that the machlokes between the Rambam and the Ramban, again, the Fianius site is very, very profound, very broad. We're only seeing the tip of the iceberg. The Rambam and the Ramban have two different views, worldviews, on what reality is all about. In the Rambam's view, reality subdivides into two categories. And there's no overlap between the two. They're the heavens and the earth. There's the physical universe as we know it. And there's a spiritual, disembodied universe up on top. In the heavens, which includes Almighty God Himself and Mahavdil, all the celestial spheres. Those are not bodies. Those are not physical. Those don't exist within the realm of time and space. Those are infinite beings. From the Rambam's perspective, it's not thinkable. It's not something that should occur to your mind that you could see a malach in physical reality. That's not what a malach is. A malach, by definition, is a being that belongs to a spiritual world. Cannot be seen, cannot be touched, cannot be heard. No sense perception. Whatever the five senses are can relate to a malach. A malach belongs to a celestial sphere of divinity, of spirituality. There's no middle ground according to the Rambam. However, the Ramban has a different worldview. He's got the Malchus. There's a bridge between the two worlds. There's a bridge between the totally spiritual and the physical. And this, I believe, is the Ramban l'shitoso. The Ramban holds that Tchias HaMeisim and Olam Haba are one and the same. The bodies will be resurrected and they will live for all eternity. Olam Haba is not a world of spirituality. It's the physical body in a perfected state, as it was meant to be in its original form, that will live forever. The Rambam can't accept such a sheet. The Rambam says we will be resurrected, Chiyas HaMeisim, and then we'll die again. And only after the second death we'll go into Olam Haba, and we'll live in infinity. Infinity, from the Rambam's perspective, can never be in a physical body. A physical body is always totally spiritual. I mean, to say, it can never be totally spiritual. Therefore, it's always bound by time and space. It's always going to die. It's always mortal. Immortality could only belong, according to the Rambam, to the realm of pure disembodied spirits. Therefore, the Rambam's view of Olam Haba precludes any bodies. There are no physical bodies in Olam Haba. But the Ramban, who is Shitoso, sees the physical and the spiritual as directly connected and overlapping. He's got the Malgush in the case. In fact, I would suggest to you that according to the Ramban, the creation of man itself indicates a combination of two worlds. Hashem says, Nasa Adam. Who's he talking to? Good, so Rashi says he's talking to the Malach. It's not nice that a CEO makes his decisions without conferring with those who are a little bit lower than he is. Teaching us Anova. But the Ramban says no. Nasa Adam means Hashem turns to the universe. He turns to the Yesodos. He turns to the earth itself. Nasa Adam. And man is a hybrid being created by both the divinity in which Hashem blows Vayipa Pa'ap of Nishmas Chaim spirituality, and at the same time, man is a physical being bursting forth from the Oretz. Just as the Oretz had produced the fish and the Chayos, the animals, the animal kingdom, man is a physical body. So man is an unbelievable hybrid, a combination, a wonderful integration of both the spiritual and the physical. That's the Ramban's worldview. And therefore the Ramban over and over again disagrees with the Rambam whenever the Rambam gets nervous about sanctity in this physical world. And the Ramban is going to lash out against the Rambam elsewhere for denying that in Lashon Kodesh is a word for the sexual organs. According to the Ramban, there's no stira, there's no contradiction. There is a word for the in Tanakh and in Lashon Kodesh for those parts of the body, because everything is Kodesh. There's no such thing as a split in an absolute way between the physical and the spiritual. They combine together, they integrate. So basically, I believe we're seeing two different hashkafot here as they come to fruition in the issue of whether or not it's possible for a human being to see a malach. Could a malach be physical in some sense? From the Ramban's perspective, why not? It's a malach. And whenever you see the word ish or anoshim, it's a malach in the form that can be seen in this world. So Avram did see malachim, and Lot saw malachim, and Yaakov wrestled with a malach. And Bilam heard the Malach tell him, get off the ass's back. And so forth and so on throughout Tanakh. Okay, I guess we'll take a break now. There's an interesting comment in the Abarbanel in which he tries to defend the Rambam against the Ramban's question, quote, Mato Eles Laharos Lo Kol Zeh, why all the details in the dream, so to speak, the vision of Avram? And the Achnosis Orchim to all its great details, says the Abarbanel, Bolo Hodiel Avram Shahavtocha Sheyizkel Ben. Right, the purpose, or one of the purposes of this vision was to notify Avram that he would have a son. And this Havtoch, this promise, Ba'a Bishus Midoso Bachnosis Orchim, HaKadosh Baruch is communicating to him that Avram will have a son in the merit of Achnosis Orchim. That's sort of like a subliminal message that's inherent in this story. We could add, perhaps, that the Torah L'Netzach Netzachim is also Torah Miloshen Ora, a book of moral philosophy or moral ethics, and it's teaching us many, many details that are derived by Chazal from this parasha regarding the mitzvah of Achnosas Orchim. The Chavetz Chaim Zatzal writes almost an entire chapter analyzing in his Avas Chesed, analyzing every single detail of this parasha and deriving from it halachas regarding Achnosas Orchim. In the Hashlomos, in the back of this Ramban, he quotes the Sefer Yekev Ephraim, who says, as far as Yaakov limping, Biyom HaMachras, on the following day, Karalo, something happened, he doesn't spell it out to Yaakov, Shinitz Talea Raglo, and as a result, he was limping, he had an injury. Kiderech Shekori Lefomim LaNoshim Acherim, it could have happened to anyone. So insofar as it happened to Yaakov, Shemin HaShemayim Herolo B'mara HaHei Avkus, Shalohoy Zestam B'mikre, Ela Inyon Miyuchad, Sherotzin La'pilo, U'lavido Chas V'sholom V'kodesh Baruch Hu Omid L'yamino L'shomro. The purpose of the Mara Nevuah that preceded the incident that caused Yaakov to be limping is to teach Yaakov of you, to notify him that the event that's going to happen to him, and as a result of which he'll be limping, is not just a mikra, it's not just an accident, but rather it's symbolic of the ongoing battle waged against the Jewish nation by Zaro Shel Esav, by the offspring of Esav, throughout the generations, in which they attempt la pilo ula vido, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu omed liyamino l'shomro, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises that although we will be injured and will be limping, nevertheless we will continue to survive, even despite all the pogroms and all the anti-Semitism. Furthermore, in terms of the Ramban's first question, what was the content of the Mara Nevuah? After all you see in the Prat is just details about the dream and the story that all took place in the dream. But what was Hashem saying to him? So the answer possibly could be, and this you'll find in the Ritva, V'im lo ra Avram Hashem yisbach ra malach. Now, as Vayera of Hashem could be in the form of a malach, especially the Rambam Lishitoso, that every nevuah comes through a malach. So sometimes the word of Hashem in a prophetic experience is brought by the Malach. So the Malachim here were telling Avram Avinu a number of very important things. And that itself is the content and the substance of Vayera Lav Hashem. Hine Arav Motza Kayotzi Bo Lefi Shitoso Be Yaakov Ube Bilom V'gam B'Yoshua. And it's very, very similar things to what we're seeing here in Vayera appear throughout the Tanakh, of stories of what seems on the surface to be incidents, which the Rambam holds is just a vision. It just happened in the mind of a Navi in a prophetic vision or a dream. So it's not that what we're seeing here in Parshas Vayera is the exception, the one in a lifetime case in Tanakh, of an episode that never happened in reality, but rather this, according to the Rambam, is going to be a repetitive theme. There are many sections in the Torah, many episodes recorded in the Tanakh, which are nothing more than prophetic visions, as we see by Bilam, and we're going to see it by Yaakov, by Yoshua, and by others. So therefore, it's not fair to say, as the Rambam says, as the Ramban accuses him, Kochelo nimtza b'chol ha'nevuos. And furthermore, when the Ramban asks, "V'im kein ba chalomos ibarov inyika chalomos hasheker," the Ramban accuses the Rambam of interpreting this parasha in such a way that it's just like dreams that are full of lies and insignificant, meaningless details. So the Ritva says, "Ein zeh chodesh b'nevuos sherov anevuos b'mishalim u'b'mishleim yaviu dvarim lelo inyan." He says, since nevuos are full of mishalim, of similes and metaphors, therefore there's not necessarily some integral meaning to every single detail. When you give a mashal, you embellish it. But these are all very important mishalim. And the nimshal has to be derived from the mashal. So there are many ways of defending the Rambam, and that's my bottom line, against the onslaught of the Ramban, and all the kashas that he raised, the objections that he raised against the Rambam. One by one, you could defend them. But the overall picture, and this is where I think the Ramban really stands, is that this is very, very sensational. This is very radical. The Torah should be understood in its integrity. Al pi pshuto shel mikra. And if the Torah here, Parshas Vayera, opens up with a very detailed story about Avraham Avinu, we have to believe and we have to assume that this happened in reality. On a philosophical level, the Ramban could claim, as we saw before, that a malach that appears as an ish can be seen by human perception. But more important, perhaps, is the dedication and the commitment to Pshuto Shel Mikra, to understand the Torah as anyone would understand the Torah. The Torah is not given to be read by philosophers, such as the Rambam and the Mordechai Vuchim, who comes with his prejudices, his preconceived notions that are philosophical in nature, that it's impossible to see a malach. And on the second count, the Ramban sharply disagrees with the Rambam's view, his Hashkafas Olam, on the difference between Moshe Rabbeinu and all of the Nevi'im. And the Ramban sharply disagrees because, accepting the Rambam's view on prophecy, prophecy is lowered down to such a different level. If every single prophecy has to come through the medium of an angel, I mean, after all, we don't believe that our relationship with Almighty God is through any medium, through any intermediary. We pray directly to God, and that's one of the Yigimel Ikrim. So why shouldn't prophecy be the experience of communication directly from God? The Ramban finds this position of the Rambam objectionable. But the Rambam Lashitasa was coming from a fundamental principle about the uniqueness of Moshe Rabbeinu and his Nevuah. The Rambam has dedicated a single, separate Yisod in the Gimel, Yud Gimel Yisod HaSemunah to the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu, and how qualitatively and fundamentally different it is than other Nevuahs. So you'll see here in the Ramban, if you get a chance to read it through, that he quotes Chazal, that the difference between Moshe and the other Nevuah is where Moshe saw and experienced nevuah bas baklaria ha-me'ira, ha-me'tzutzachas. It's like a window pane that's absolutely clear. And the other nevi'im through a window pane that's not me'tzutzachas. So in the Ramban's view, what Chazal trying to say is that fundamentally it's the same nevuah. They belong to the same category. It's a communication directly from Almighty God. The only thing is that that Moshe Rabbeinu experiences this nevuah with perfect clarity. There's nothing confusing, there's no ambiguity, there's no darkness, there's no dreams, there's no fear, there's no physical change in the case of Moshe Rabbeinu. It's kiponim el ponim ki ish al ish. But other Nevi'im, we're not going to put down the Nevuah and reduce it to a malach. It's a communication that they hear through a malach. Why? An individual reached this level of Nevuah, he enjoys the experience, the bliss of Nevuah, to be in direct communication with Almighty God. The Rambam wants to see an absolutely fundamental difference between Nevuas Moshe and that of the Nevuah of other Nevi'im. From the Rambam's perspective, Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah is a different entity. The word Nevuah with regard to Moshe Rabbeinu is a borrowed term. It's much more than Nevuah. And the Rav used to always say that Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah, according to the Rambam Shita, is a Chefetz Shel Torah. It's outside the gedder, outside the realm of Nevuah. It's a new entity. And therefore the Rambam had to ask himself, so what makes Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah a Chefetz Shel Torah? The answer is, it's directly from God. It's Shechina Medaberes Mitoch Ronos Shel Moshe. The other Nevi'im, It's not Shechina Medaberes Mitoch Gronam. It's not a Chefetz Shel Torah. It's Nevuah. They see a vision. And they interpret that vision and formulate the words of that vision in their own particular language. And they express it in their particular unique way. Moshe Rabbeinu hears the word of God. He's not interpreting it. He's not formulating it. It's a direct communication. That's the Rambam's view. The Ramban, on the other hand, believes that by classifying Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah as clear beyond, you know, beyond the shadow of doubt, it's crystal clear. That's enough to explain and justify how Lokom Kimosha, that the Navi, Moshe as a Navi, was unique. No one came to him. No one was in his league. But that doesn't mean we have to rob all Nevi'im of their basic Nevu experience, which means a direct communication from Almighty God. So we see here at the beginning of Parshas Vayera a long, complicated Ramban and a fundamental controversy between the Rambam and the Ramban on very, very fundamental issues. Issues that touch on Yisodi Amunah, to understand the nature of Nevuah, to understand what a Malach is, to understand whether a human being has the capacity to hear a Malach, to see a Malach. These are issues. And you could learn the Chumash without being aware of it. That's why I encourage you all to study the Ramban carefully and to enjoy the benefit of really the exhilarating experience of working through a Ramban. I want to wish everyone a great Shabbos.